just pick one, be happy with it. Like, it's not always a fight about equality in my mind.
Yeah, imagine somebody's like, I got engaged. You're like, cool, so who did it? You or him? Wait, you didn't propose to him? Like... Hi, everyone, and welcome back to A Little About A Lot. I'm your host, Kelsey, and...
I'm Becky.
And she's back from Cuba.
Yeah, I had such a good time. I was there for a week enjoying the sun and the beach and just the beautiful island that is Cuba.
Oh, Cuba. Good times. Well, here on A Little Bit A Lot, we talk a little bit about a lot of different things. We chat about things going on in our lives, different ideas that we have on the world, and respond to our audience, and much, much more. We hope that when you guys leave this podcast, you'll end up knowing a little bit more about a lot of different things. Okay, but tell me more about Cuba.
It was so good. I went there expecting to have internet access so I could, you know, keep up to date with emails and work things.
I mean, as you do in 2019, you're just like, internet? Yeah, no problem.
And not just because I assume that about the country, but just because I have been there before and there has been Wi-Fi.
That's true.
But this time we went there and it was really difficult to access. It would never connect when you wanted it to. And that ended up being a really pleasant surprise because it's nice to kind of be like, quote unquote, forced to unplug.
Oh, 100%. We need more of that in our lives. So it's great that you could do that.
It's great to take a vacation and all. But when like, you know, the emails are there, there's kind of that pressure to check it anyways because you can.
Yeah. And it's like we got around okay without you.
Thanks, guys. Well, I figured you would, too, which is why I wasn't stressing too much about the fact that I couldn't be on it.
Yeah.
And then, you know, as the first like day or two went by, I was like, no, this feels really good. Like I stopped thinking about my phone entirely.
Yeah.
And it was awesome. And then when we flew back to Toronto, you know, as soon as you land and you're allowed to turn on your phone, like all of my friends immediately went to their phones. And I was like, I have no desire to turn this on. It was actually like a reverse effect because I know when I turn it on, there's going to be a million emails.
Yeah.
So I actually wanted to stay off it kind of as long as I possibly could.
Do you remember? So I feel like we always talk about this. Our OBC trip, a.k.a. the camping adventure trip that we went on at the end of – well, we went in September. But it was like no phones, camping, amazing adventure. And we were on the bus back and it was kind of like a little test between everybody. It's like who's going to turn on their phone first? And yeah, we held out for pretty long, I think. Yeah, some people though turned on their phones right away and then they're getting these emails. Literally they were on the phone within like 2 minutes because they got an email and it was like something that was going sideways.
Yeah, and like obviously stressed about it and it's kind of just like, I don't know, you don't want technology to make you feel that way.
Yeah.
So it was nice to not have that for a little bit.
And I think we were lucky. I mean, some people that we were on the trip with, they are like running their own business and maybe they don't have as much of a team to handle things. So I think that was part of the problem too, is that they were like, okay, I need to get back on the internet so I can deal with the week that I've been away. But we were lucky. We had a team and there was no fires to put out.
Yeah. So, I mean, trip was great. Like I said, I went down with a bunch of my friends and Austin as well, who's my husband. So it was a bunch of our mutual friends and some family, like cousins and such.
Oh, yeah. Is this the group, like you guys, you've been before with these people?
Yeah. This is like a group of us that like we hang out all the time. It feels like family because, well, part of them, they are family members. It's like cousins and girlfriends that probably will be cousins down the road.
Right.
And then like really good friends back from high school still. So like these are our really close friends that we kind of do a lot with.
Yeah, that's fun.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so on this topic of friends and relationships and going away with your husband, we want to know a little bit more about the origin story of Becky and Austin.
Okay, so I think I've talked like in parts about this story in vlogs and different podcasts, but like I guess here's the proper summary altogether.
Yeah, it's nice to have it in one place. We'll sum it up right now.
Yeah, so we went to high school together many, many years ago, and we were on the same bus into school together. So that's kind of how I first knew of him, because we would sit on the same bus for like half an hour going to school every morning.
That commute, coming back. That school commute.
Yeah, and then I like to say we had mutual friends, but we were never friends, if that makes sense. So my friends were friends with his friends.
Why weren't you guys friends though?
I think it's because, like, I hate classifying high school into groups. We talked about this, but
cliques.
Like I was in a sort of a group and he was in a group, and then we had friends that, like, think of a Venn diagram, like, overlapped those two circles, but our circles were different.
Yeah,
do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
So I would like run into him or like, you know, say a couple things to him, but never really were we like friends in high school at all.
Interesting. It's so funny because you start off like, people are like, oh, well, how do you know Austin? Where'd you meet? And you're like, high school. And then everybody in their head goes, oh, they're high school sweethearts. But it's
everybody.
No.
They're like, oh, that's so sweet. And I'm like, oh, no, not really.
Sorry to burst your bubble right there.
Yeah. So, I mean, there was those 4 years of high school where we sort of knew each other, but then parted ways after when I went off to college.
Yep.
And, you know, you do college things, you hang out with other people,
you meet Kelsey and start a YouTube channel,
you have other relationships, and you basically try and figure out who you are and what you want.
Yeah.
And I'm not even 100% sure how this even started, but for some reason or another we ended up talking again. And I want to say it's Facebook Messenger. I think
classic Facebook, just bringing people together.
I know, even though he doesn't have Facebook anymore, so don't even try and look for him. But yeah, I don't even know what we were talking about at all. I can't remember, but it was just like, hey, how are you? It's been a long time.
Yeah.
And
wait, this is interesting though, because you guys weren't friends.
Yes.
So why were you talking to each other?
Okay, maybe I'm reading into it, but I think there was this subtle energy of like, I think you're cute, you think I'm cute, okay. And we both know it, but no one said it.
And nobody could act upon it in high school because it was like, this is too weird, like the friend groups, like everything's too close, you know?
People make things so annoying in high school. It's like, ooh, you're talking to him, what does this mean?
You're like, shut up, you're being annoying, leave me alone.
Yeah, and it's, I think also because in high school, it was solely based upon the fact that, like, I think you're physically attractive, but there was, like, nothing else going on there. Which, there's other things that matter in a relationship, right?
Yeah.
So now that some time had passed, I think there was another aspect of it. Well, maybe you're a different person. Like, maybe there's more to this.
Now
that we're older and more mature.
Yeah. Okay.
So I think, I don't know what we started talking about, and it somehow ended up to, do you want to go get dinner sometime?
Okay.
And we did. We ended up going to Swish LA.
Wow.
Very vegetarian of me.
Wait, Swish LA?
Yeah, I know.
That's next level.
I know. It's very next level. It's I don't know. I think it's really funny. Now I think about it. It's very cute.
It's precious. Wait.
It's so precious.
Was this in Toronto?
Yeah, it was back when we lived by Humber College. Yes. Do you remember there was that Swish LA that was close?
Yeah, low-key, there's not very good resto options. Or at least there wasn't, like, that long ago. But
and we were, like, young and not really, like, so Toronto-cultured at the time that we knew was cool. And he's not from the city either, so it's not like either of us were like, ooh, let's go to this really cool, like, resto downtown.
Yeah.
Like, that's kind of, those were the options back in the day. So
amazing.
We went there to have this distinct memory of it only being elderly people in the restaurant.
Yep.
And we were sitting across from this table from all these like older men watching a golf game. And it was like really awkward.
Cute.
Because you're like kind of like, hey, like, what are you doing now? And then like you kind of like look over and watch the golf game. And you're like, oh, this is so interesting. I know nothing about golf. Me neither. You know?
Yeah. Just classic first date things.
Yeah, you know. So after that, it just kind of, we started hanging out more and more, and I actually liked who he was as a person as well, which is really cool. Oh, you know what? I actually do remember how this all started.
Oh.
I had the thought now.
Okay.
While I was in college, I had a summer job.
Oh.
And we talked about this in jobs, I think, in the jobs episode.
Oh, yeah, because he does, like, mechanic-y things.
Yes, but not where I'm going with this.
Okay, sorry.
So one of my main summer jobs every summer was I worked at a auto parts company.
Yes.
And I delivered auto parts. And I ended up getting that job through Austin's sister.
Oh, wait, what?
Yes. So she worked with me for one summer at the auto parts shop.
Oh.
And I got this job because it was like the first summer going into college, I think, and I just needed to make money somehow, as you do. And she was like, oh, I got this really random job. Yeah, like, they're taking anyone, basically. It's so easy.
But wait, how'd you know her?
Well, she went to high school with me, too.
Oh.
So, I don't know. I was at some party, and she was there, and I was asking her what she was doing for work. And she was like, oh, I got this really random job, but it, like, pays well. If you need a job, like, they'll totally hire you.
Oh, okay, this makes more sense.
Oh, that's
now.
So random. Okay. So, I applied for that job, got it. We worked together, and I think I ended up texting him or messaging him somehow being like, oh, I'm working with your sister. Like, so random.
Yeah.
How are you?
Perfect.
You know, that kind of thing. I'm pretty sure that's how this all started now that I'm remembering.
Wow, bless her. You owe her some Swish LA dinner because she brought you guys together.
I should give her some gift cards. Okay. So anyways, way down the road, we just kept hanging out, and then things started to get more and more serious. And I think what really made it the most serious is when I ended up moving back home for a little bit.
Yeah.
So we had an apartment together, the first apartment, then we moved to another apartment.
Are you, we as in
me? Kelsey and I. Yeah. Yeah. You and I. But this whole time he had lived out of the city.
Yeah.
Back in my hometown. I know,
you commuted so much, that's so annoying.
Yeah, and it was really annoying to drive kind of like an hour plus to hang out all the time, and it kind of became, there was a certain part in our relationship where it was like, either somebody's going to have to move.
Right.
Or this is not going to work because it's so much effort.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And he wasn't planning on moving.
No.
Like, why would he? He had a job back at home, like, a great place to stay. Like, I don't know. And I think you ended up wanting to move in with your boyfriend at the time.
Yeah.
So it was all, like, things that kind of made sense. And I was like, well, I can go back home and essentially live for free.
Yeah.
Be closer to my boyfriend, see what happens there.
Yeah.
So that's what I did.
So then you had to commute, though. So instead of, I mean, yeah, you just kind of flipped it on its head. Instead of commuting to see your boyfriend, you now had to commute to work.
Which, I mean, was better because then that was solely on me. And I don't mind the driving so much, but he didn't like it.
Right.
He hated driving into the city, which, understandable, traffic is bad.
Yeah.
Especially if you're not used to city driving. So I was fine commuting from home to work.
Yeah.
And that way I was really close to where he lived and we could hang out like a lot more often.
Yeah, yeah.
And I think that's when things started to get more serious.
Mm-hmm.
Because it was like, okay, now we're hanging out a lot. Like, what do we want to do about this? And then after that, ended up getting engaged, married, and now we live happily ever after.
Whoa, whoa, whoa. That was like a little bit of a rush there.
So the funny thing about it is that I did know him from high school.
Mm-hmm.
But I wouldn't say that, like, that's the reason we got together, like, because we weren't dating in high school.
Yeah.
It's just that I happened to know him from then, and that was, like, the catalyst to this new relationship.
Yeah, yeah.
But the weird thing about it is that because he had stayed in his hometown the whole time, is he remained friends with a lot of people from high school that I didn't.
Yeah.
So once we started dating again, I had to, like, had to, but I saw all these people again from my high school years that I hadn't spoken to in like 4+ years.
Yeah.
And that was a bit weird for me. I mean, now we're all good friends, but it was just a bit odd to see these people again and try to explain what happened. Because everyone's like, oh, like, I remember you. What are you doing here?
And
you're like, well. And then people try and read into it, like, oh, were you in a relationship this whole time?
Oh,
it's like,
yeah.
No, not really. We just started chatting. You know how it is. Maybe you don't. I don't know. Nice to see you again. Yeah, I don't know. That was a bit weird and would only really apply to our specific type of relationship, but it's something that I had to get used to, I guess.
Yeah.
Like, I always thought it'd be so nice to meet somebody that you met at such a random place that they didn't know anyone else in your life.
Right. It's kind of like becoming your own person versus...
Yeah.
Having all these old things. Like, that's why people like going into high school. That's why people like going into
college.
University and college. Mm-hmm. It's because it's like you get this like little fresh start. So it doesn't matter if you were like that weird kid in grade 6.
Yeah, I agree. And I wish that I had that because I don't love people remembering me from high school because obviously everybody's a different person. Not that I was an awful person by any means in high school, but it's just like you change and you grow and you want people to think of you as this new version of you, right?
Yep.
So I always thought, oh, it'd be so nice to, like, I don't know, be on the subway and, like, sit next to this cute guy. And then, like, he's the only person, like, none of your friends know him yet. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, that'd be so nice. But
also you don't know him. And then you're like, are you a serial killer?
It's true. And I also know myself. Like, everybody is so different in the way they approach relationships. But I'm that kind of person that I need to know somebody for a really long time before I can, like, feel comfortable in a relationship with them.
Yeah.
Like, some people can meet a guy at a party and then the next week be like, oh, we're hanging out, we're dating. And for me, like, I don't know, I couldn't do it. I'd need to be like, let's go out on friend dates for like 5 months and then maybe we can start dating. Do you know what I mean? Like,
yeah.
Different people are like that, right?
Yeah.
So even though I didn't know him for those 4 years we were in college together, the fact that I felt like I knew him from a past time made it so easy.
Yeah, yeah.
And that's just the kind of person I know I am. So as much as I wanted to just like meet somebody on a whimsy and ooh, this perfect relationship, like I know that I need to know somebody for a long ass time before.
Wait, on a whimsy is like my new favorite word.
On a whimsy.
On a whimsy.
Yeah, so I mean, I can't be mad that that's how it worked out because I feel like that's how it would have had to work out for me.
Yeah.
I would have had to know somebody for a long time.
Yeah, and I totally get that. That's why I think a lot of people have problems with dating and online dating. I mean, I know friends that they'll go on like online dates all the time, but she's like, the people I actually have a connection with are just like friends of friends and stuff.
Yeah.
Because, yeah, it is so hard meeting somebody fresh. And as much as I'm like, oh, this person's fun, literally, and I know this is like so negative, but in the back of my head, I'm just like, okay, but who are they?
Yeah, I get it. And it's like, it's a lot to ask of a person to be like, can we go on like so many dates before we start getting serious? I get that. That's a lot to ask.
Yeah. I feel like nowadays that's not so hard. That's not how it goes.
No, it's not.
No. But also I feel like sometimes the faster you go into it, then the faster you kind of get to know somebody. So instead of like dragging it out for a long time and maybe realizing that they're not right, mm-hmm. if you're just like, okay, we kind of like each other. We had fun the first time. Like, let's keep going at a pretty steady pace. Then maybe you realize quicker that you aren't into it. I'm like I was like a 3-date like and then cut person.
Yeah, and I think you get to know the questions that you need to find out right away, the important ones to you.
Yeah.
Instead of figuring out what's important to you over like the span of a year, right?
Yeah. Yeah, exactly.
We talked about why marriage at all in a previous episode.
Yeah, we did. So if you guys want to check out that episode, it was called Is Monogamy the Answer? Something like that. Is Monogamy the Only Answer? Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think we talked about things like that in that podcast. But with that background, moving on.
Yeah, so I talked about how I always knew that marriage was something I wanted for myself mm-hmm. in my life. And seeing that the end goal was to find somebody and spend life with them, I wanted to have that, you know, sort of happen as soon as possible, as soon as naturally possible. Yeah, like, yeah. I don't want to rush into anything that's not real.
Yeah.
That would be awful. But as soon as we had been together, I think we were together 3.5 years, I believe, around that time before we got engaged. Mm-hmm. And that was kind of enough time, but where it was like past all the first dates where you're like starting to get to know somebody and you're like, oh, is this person right for me? It started getting to a point where, like, yes, this is my person. We hang out all the time. Like, no questions. Like, I love this. Let's do this forever.
Yeah.
And then that kind of came to the part where it was like, okay, well, now what next?
Yeah.
And I felt that, like, getting married would be awesome. And is like, the next logical step. Instead of having the next steps being like, well, maybe let's date for a little longer. Let me meet your family. Like, let's answer all these questions. Like, we had done all that.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And it was kind of just like a plateau where we could have just like stayed that way for the rest of our lives for sure. But I knew that I wanted to get married to somebody. So it felt like the right time.
Yeah. Why not?
Why not?
And then how did he propose? I know this story a little bit, but maybe you'll tell me more details. I don't know.
So it was in the summer.
Yeah.
I think, like I said, about 3.5 years in. And one of my favorite places in the whole world, and he knows this too, is my family's cottage. It's up in Northern Ontario. And it's been in our family like for a couple of generations. And I have so many fond memories of being there as a kid and going up. And I've brought him up there a couple times. And he just knows that this place is so special to me.
Yeah.
So we were up there. It was a long weekend. And we went up as a whole family.
Yeah.
Together to celebrate.
As in, like, your parents, not his parents, right?
No, not his parents. It was my family. So my mom, my dad, my sister, and Austin were there. And it was a long weekend. We went up for my dad's birthday, I believe.
Yeah.
And we wanted to stay a couple days extra just because I think we had the time off from work.
Yeah.
So we were up there as a family, but my family went home on, like, the Sunday or the Monday.
Yeah.
And we were there for a couple days after. So it was not until everybody had left.
Yeah.
That we were just us alone, and it was in the morning, and we went down to the water, and we were just, like, sitting on chairs, and he was being a little bit weird. But that's kind of when he, you know, did the whole thing, got down on one knee. It was so beautiful by, like, the lake and, like, the sunrise, and asked me if I loved him and if I wanted to love him forever, basically.
Do you love me?
You're like, it was, like, bad time to say no. But no, yeah, it was very cute. It was very cute. And then I said yes. And then we spent like the next day or two up there just ourselves enjoying it. And it was great because the service is shoddy up there.
Relating back to no phones equals good times.
I have a deep love of zero service. Shoddy service. So I didn't even tell anybody for like a day or two after it happened. Like, I told nobody.
Yeah.
And it felt so good to have this little secret that just us enjoyed together
for like a day.
No, but it felt so good, and I don't think a lot of people on his side knew that he was gonna do it either.
Wait, did your classic, but did your dad know? Did your family know? Did you know? I feel like you knew, right?
So when we were talking about getting married, and I think you should definitely talk about marriage if you're with somebody.
That's why proposals, like, especially nowadays, are so, like, I mean, obviously they mean something, but at the same time, it's like, it's, I feel like back in the day, people would just get surprised. Mm-hmm. Like, you'd meet a man, and then the next week he's like, do you want to marry me? And this girl's like, oh my God, thank God. Now I have somebody to, yeah, like, take care of me and pay for my bills while I can take care of the house.
I know.
Back then it was, like, such, like, a girl was waiting to get proposed to, you know?
I know. I have, like, such a fine, like, I don't know, like, what's the word? Like, timeline of how proposals should go. It should definitely never be a surprise.
Yeah.
Because that's never going to end well.
Well, yeah, to timing is surprise, but, like, the idea of it,
the idea of it, right? Yes, like, you shouldn't know that you are likely going to get married. It should not be sprung on you after two dates.
Wait, have you ever watched the proposal fails on YouTube?
Yes, I have.
Guys, if you ever want to feel something, I don't, not that we're taking pleasure in other people's pain, but, oh my God, go watch proposal fails. They, like, will have you in tears, hysterics.
So I don't think it should be that. But I also don't love, like, I know some people that plan their proposals out to, like, a T, and, like, the girl knows when it's going to happen, where it's going to happen,
how it's going to happen. She gets her nails done before.
She gets her nails. It's like, well, then what's even the point? Like, you're getting married. Like, do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, I think there should be some element of surprise to it, which there was for us, which was nice. So we had talked about getting married, and it was nice that we were on the same page of, yes, we want to do this sometime. So yeah, it wasn't a surprise. And he said, okay, I'm thinking about doing it, like, in the summer.
Okay.
So that was the time gauge I had. But
P.S., this was the end of August.
Yes. So it was the very end of the summer. And, like, I wasn't, like, thinking about it every day. But once in a while, I remember, like, oh, yeah, he said that because he said it a long time ago.
Yeah. And you're just like, is he still doing that?
Yeah.
Like, what's going on?
And the summer was going by. And this was, like, the last long weekend in the, like, summer. Literally. Like, the summer is basically over next week. And I was just like, oh, I guess it's not happening. And I wasn't upset about it at all.
Wait, like, so you didn't think it was gonna happen that, mm-mm, weekend?
No.
Even though you were, like, staying extra days at the cottage?
No, I don't know why.
Interesting.
I just thought, like, I don't know, it's nice to just spend time not with parents with you all the time. Do you know what I mean? Like,
yeah, yeah,
that's nice regardless of proposals or not.
Also, it's nice to not have to worry about when your significant other is gonna propose.
Yeah, like, I wasn't worried, even, yeah, though I thought it wasn't that summer. I was just like, eh, whatever. Maybe it's in the fall or the winter. Eh, like,
yeah,
I don't know. He didn't get his stuff together. I didn't really care. So I was pretty sure it wasn't happening then. Only until, like, moments before, when I could tell he was acting a little funny.
Oh,
that I was,
and, like, you guys were, like, by yourself at the lake.
Yes.
And you're like, he's being the weirdest he's ever been in his entire life.
Because he was like, oh, let's go down and sit by the water. Like, he's not really like this.
No.
Let's go sit by the water.
He's like, let's go ride dirt bikes.
Yeah. And I'm like, okay, sure. Like, that sounds nice. That sounds like a me idea, not a you idea.
When your significant other is acting more like you than you act like you, then you know something's up.
Exactly. So that's that, like, only seconds before when it tipped me off. So it's not enough for me to be like, oh, I know it's happening tomorrow, you know?
Yeah, yeah. Oh, that's good.
Yeah. So it was a bit of a surprise, but not, like, I wasn't completely thrown off guard, you know?
Yeah. Okay, wait. What do you think about, let's take a break. That's what I'm going to think about. But I have a question for you after the break.
Okay.
Okay, we're back, and my question is, what do you think about, like, mutual proposals? You know about this?
Tell me.
Okay, so it's kind of like the thing where it's like, why does a man have to propose?
Mm-hmm.
Like, I mean, yeah, it is very much a mutual decision nowadays, 2019, love it, equality, we're getting there. Yeah, it's like, why does a man have to propose? You know, can a woman propose? Can you both propose? So now people are planning, like mutual proposals, as in, like, I would propose to my significant other and then, like, they would propose to me maybe at, like, a different time. So I guess in my mind, it's kind of like one person plans a really nice date and somebody else plans a really nice date, and they're two different dates, and in that date you get proposed to. But both the male,
okay,
and man and woman, I don't know, man and man, woman and woman, both people, both partners do it to each other, you know?
Yeah, if it's at different times, like, I guess I don't mind that. To me, it seems a little bit redundant.
Yeah, yeah.
Because the question is, do both of us want to get married to each other? And once you say yes, it's not like, do you want to marry me? Like, I have no say,
yeah,
in this. Do you know what I mean?
Wait, Gigi Gorgeous did this.
Yes.
Relating back to YouTube.
Yes.
Gigi Gorgeous, YouTube creator. She got proposed to by her woman.
Mm-hmm.
And then Gigi proposed to her after the fact.
Honestly, I have zero strong feelings about,
yeah,
this. Like, if that makes you happy and that's cool and that's, like, I don't know, like affirming for you,
yeah,
then sure, 100% do it.
But you didn't feel any need to propose to Austin.
I didn't feel upset, like, oh man, like I didn't get to ask him, like how unfair.
I know. As much as we need equality, we love equality, I still think that you can have these things that are like, they're almost tradition, right?
Mm-hmm.
And it's like, yeah, I mean, there's something kind of nice about that, as much as I don't even know.
Yeah, I agree. It's like we have to pick one or the other. Just pick one. Be happy with it. Like, it's not always a fight about equality in my mind.
Yeah, imagine somebody's like, I got engaged. You're like, cool, so who did it? You or him? Wait, you didn't propose to him? Like,
it's like, I'm trying to get into the city, and I can either make a left turn or a right turn to get there. I'm going to get there either way. I chose the left turn. But why didn't you make a right? It's like, it doesn't matter. Just pick one. You're going to get married. I don't know.
Marriage is traffic.
Yes. But okay. But back to, what was it? Double proposals? Dual proposals?
Yeah. I'm calling them like mutual.
Mutual proposals?
Mutual proposals. Yeah.
Absolutely. If you want to do it, go for it. I didn't feel the need.
Oh my gosh. So after the marriage proposal, there was a marriage.
There was.
And oh my gosh, it's on YouTube. Thanks, YouTube.
Yep, there's like a 10-minute film all about the day. I think it's really good.
It's beautiful.
Not even because it's my own wedding. I just think it was really well done. Go check it out on our YouTube channel.
There were drones.
Yes.
There were DIYs.
Yes.
There was love. There was marriage.
Yes.
There was dancing.
There was. Yeah, check that out on our main channel.
Yeah.
I'm sure if you just search wedding video, it will come up for sure if you want to see how the day went. But yeah, after that.
No phones. I remember this. Sorry. After that was your honeymoon. I jumped ahead.
Oh, yes.
After that was your honeymoon and you didn't have phones and you didn't vlog it.
I know.
Craziness.
I still don't know if I regret this or not.
Really?
I don't think I do.
Okay.
Because I have a lot of really awesome photos because I brought a camera instead of a film camera, like a picture camera. But I think it'd be nice to have like vlog footage of it.
Yeah.
That's the thing with vlogs is like when you're in the moment, this is a segue, but in
yes.
the moment you're like, I wish I didn't have to be talking to a camera. This is taking away from it so much.
Yeah.
But then after you're like, oh, I'm so glad I have this memory of said event.
It's so true.
So it's always like, you know, a tricky decision.
Yeah. It's like it's that fine line of trying to vlog without interfering the present moment too much.
Yes.
And but then also sometimes I just find myself sneakily vlogging and I was like, I feel so sneaky, but at the same time I just don't want to take away from the moment.
Yeah.
And then like I guess afterwards I'll ask my friends if it's okay if I like use the footage.
Yeah, I guess what I could have done, and this is what I did, I mean it's not completed yet, so we'll have to see how I feel about it.
Yeah.
But for my Cuba trip, I tried to do it more in like a quote unquote artsy way.
Yeah, yeah.
Where I put the camera on slow motion and just filmed a lot of like scenery and moments and like from my perspective, and it was a lot less like, hey guys, I'm here, here's what we're doing,
insert meme,
insert my friend, can you say something funny, wave to the camera. Like it was a lot less of that.
Yeah.
So I didn't feel like it was taking away at all.
Yeah.
Like it didn't really distract whatsoever because I was just like having the camera seeing what I'm seeing.
Yeah.
And it felt like a totally different way to approach it. I mean, it might be less entertaining because there's less dialogue, but it's still a good way to capture it without feeling like it's taking away from you. I guess I could have done that for a honeymoon, but anyways, too late now.
Just go on another one of those. Wait, where'd you go for your honeymoon?
Okay, so, I mean, my honeymoon is like my favorite trip I've ever been on.
Whoa.
And I didn't even think it would be.
Whoa.
I think, yeah, it was so like kind of a last minute whimsy. This is my new favorite word.
Whimsy.
Too, I guess.
Wow.
Whimsical idea.
Can we call this podcast like whimsy marriage things? I don't know.
Whimsical relationships.
Getting married on a whimsy.
Oh no. There was thought. I swear there was thought into it. Okay, so here's the story of what happened for our honeymoon.
Yeah.
I've had this like dream ever since I was like a little tot that I was going to go to like Fiji or Bali and get one of those huts that's out in the water.
Oh yeah, on that blue freaking water.
And I was like, that's going to be my honeymoon, like heck yes, dream vacation.
Yeah.
And
so
then
what
happened? I grew up and realized those trips are very expensive.
Those trips cost as much as your wedding.
Exactly. And they're very far away, as you know.
Yeah.
Crazy plane flights away.
Stupid.
So after just getting a home and paying for a wedding, I realized tacking on one of those trips onto the old bank account was probably not the best choice.
I think the whole audience right now is like, relatable.
Yeah.
Relatable.
So I kind of was just like, okay, whatever, we'll do it a couple years down the road.
Yeah.
Like whenever we feel like we can afford it.
Yeah.
And I was like, we'll just do something kind of more chill.
Yeah.
for this honeymoon. And then what ended up happening is my cousin, who I'm really good friends with, lives out west.
Yeah.
And she was getting married a week after we were getting married, and we got invited to her wedding.
In BC.
In BC,
yeah. British Columbia.
So we said, okay, we're going to go to her wedding because I want to be there for her wedding.
Of course.
And then maybe we can tack on a trip while we're out that way. Anyways, maybe go south to California because BC is right above California. Mm-hmm. Do a little road trip. That'll be our honeymoon, and then we'll come home.
Yeah.
And it ended up being so much fun. Like, that's I loved so it so much. I'd never been to the northern part of California.
Yeah.
Like, we've been to LA a lot, San Francisco, but I had no idea what Northern California was.
Yeah.
Which, P.S., it's entirely different than the southern half.
Yeah.
It's so different. So all we really knew was that we were going to be flying to San Francisco on this date. Yeah. And I booked us a flight home from Oregon on this date. And they were like a week and a half in between.
Nice.
That I had zero plans for anything.
Nice.
Wow, that's a very dangerous move to do.
But it's also, that's where the fun comes in.
Yes, it's also very freeing. Like, yeah. It's so much fun. So we ended up renting a car in San Francisco. We stayed with some friends for a couple days, but then we rented a car. And basically, all we knew was we had to get ourselves to the airport in Oregon to go home at the end of the trip.
And you could do that in like 3 days, like two days, or you could do that in a week and a half.
A week. So I had one of those like cheesy tourist like guidebooks of Northern California.
Yeah.
And honestly, those are the best.
Oh my God.
Like, do buy one. And we woke up every morning. We like looked through like in the guidebook where the nearest things are near us.
Yeah.
We're like, where do we want to go today? What do we want to see?
Oh my God. That's so good.
And we got in the car and we just drove like across all of Northern California, saw everything. And then went home, and it was so much fun.
Did you guys ever stay in the car? Where'd you stay?
One night we did. So this is the part where I wish I sort of would have planned this out a little bit more.
Yeah.
Only because it did end up becoming sort of an expensive trip. Solely for the fact that hotels are expensive.
Yeah.
That's the only thing, is that you have to sleep somewhere.
Yeah.
So either we could have...
What about campsites?
Well, that's what we did for one night. So we could have either gotten a bigger car that we could have slept in, which probably would have been our best choice.
Yeah, because you guys like do that all the time anyways here in Ontario.
Yeah, like the problem with it is that you're in a place that you don't live. So we didn't have anything. Like we didn't have tents.
Yeah.
Like I wonder if like all of those like camping stores, can you rent stuff and then take it back?
Well, then, but the problem is you'd have to go back.
Well, unless there was like another location. This should be a thing if it's not like you could rent a tent and sleeping bags and a mattress and all that stuff in like one REI or whatever,
yeah,
and then drive up the coast and like return it to another REI.
yeah Also, renting camping gear just makes so much sense. It's like I go camping once every mm-hmm. like couple of years mm-hmm. and it's like I don't need to own a tent for this.
Yeah.
Also, I want the latest and greatest tent, like the good technology. Yeah, easy to put up. Anyways, continue.
So yeah, either that or like the problem with Airbnbs is that you can't book them the day of, typically.
Oh, yeah.
Okay. You need to have a little bit of advance notice.
Oh, interesting.
So we never knew where we were going to be tomorrow. So I couldn't like, I mean, I could have booked an Airbnb here in the air and just know that we had to go that way regardless. Yeah. But I didn't want to do that.
Yeah.
So that was the only thing, is that we stayed in hotels for most nights. While we tried to find cheap hotels, the options were either like real sketchy hotels that we would feel very unsafe in, mm-hmm. or nice hotels that were expensive.
Yeah.
So one night we did end up staying in a campsite right in the Redwood Forest. It was absolutely beautiful, but we slept in our car and it was the worst sleep I've ever had in my life.
Oh no.
Trying to like recline on a little sedan chair and sleep.
Shit.
So that's the only thing I wish I had planned more. But besides that, it was so great.
You should just like pulled the honeymoon card and start walking around the campsite and be like, we're on a honeymoon. Like, help us. Give us a tent.
Help me. I'm poor. but aside from that, we tried to save money where we could. Like, we bought groceries. Like, we bought, like, bread and, like, butter and stuff and ate that in our car as we were driving around.
Perfect.
Tried to be very frugal with it.
Whimsical.
Very whimsical of us. But it was, I don't know, it was just so beautiful. And, like, Northern California is so gorgeous. Like, if you can ever get the chance to go, do, because it's just so beautiful. They have like mountains and waterfalls and forests and beaches. Like,
oof.
You get to see everything and it's so nice.
Yeah. I've never been. I want to go.
Yeah. You should go. It's great. So good. So that was, I don't know, it was such a fun trip. I don't even know if I did it again, like, would it be the same?
No.
Was it because I'd never been there? Was it because I had just gotten married?
Yeah.
Like, there was so much that was so fun about it.
And while you were on this honeymoon, you decided to have a child.
A dog child.
A dog child.
Sort of decided, sort of got decided for.
Oh, wait, how did I get decided for you?
Well, okay, so Austin and I knew that we always wanted a dog. Well, more so I knew I always wanted a dog. Like, I'm such a dog person. I grew up with a dog. Like, I freaking love dogs. Like, show me a picture of a dog and I will tear up. I love dogs. So I was like, as soon as I'm out on my own and I have a place that I can have a dog, I'm getting a dog. So when we were on our trip the last night, we ended up arriving to Oregon a day earlier than we needed to.
Right.
Just because we were so afraid of missing our flight out.
Yeah.
Because who knows? And there was, unfortunately, some wildfires going on at the time, and it was a bit hard to get around. So we wanted to be there early enough.
Yeah.
So we basically had one whole day. And the town in Oregon where we were by the airport, there's literally nothing going on. Like, maybe a movie theater. So we didn't have much to do, so we kind of just hung out in the hotel room all day. And I got bored, and I was like, okay, dogs. So so show me some dog pics. What's up? So I had always thought that when we'd get back, like, we would go to shelters and that kind of stuff and look around at, like, reputable breeders and whatnot.
Yeah.
But we weren't at home, so I couldn't do that. So I thought I would go on Kijiji, or, like, one of those online sites, and see if anyone had, like, dogs that needed new homes or new puppies that needed new homes. And I've always wanted border collies. Like, I loved border collies. And then I saw, like, a couple years ago, a picture of, like, a red and white border collie on Pinterest. And I had no idea these existed.
Yeah.
Until I saw this photo.
They're usually black.
Yeah, they're usually black and white. And, like, I guess a lot of people don't know, because whenever they see my dog, they're like, oh, my goodness.
What is it?
What is it? What is it? So I was like, on a whimsy, I was like, what happens if I type in, like, red and white border collie on Kijiji? Like, what's gonna happen? And I was like, no, it won't be a thing. Like, if it is a thing, it's from, like, a very exotic place that's gonna cost a lot of money,
right?
And wouldn't you believe it, there was a post for a red and white border collie puppy on there that needed a home. It was from a breeder that wanted to keep him but couldn't for like breeding purposes, because he wasn't, like, fit for breeding,
right?
And she was like, I love this dog so much. I want to keep him. Like, he is the best dog, but I obviously can't own, like, a million dogs.
Yeah.
So, like, I'm looking for a really, really, really good home for him to go to. And I was like, oh, okay. Nervous laugh. And she had this really, really, really extensive form to fill out, which is how I knew, because I really wanted to get it from, not, if it's not a shelter, I wanted to make sure it was an entirely responsible breeder, because I know there's so many bad breeders out there.
Yeah.
Like, I really want to make
sure
the
ones that, like, do their background check, and, like, literally they won't sell you a dog if they're like,
yes,
we don't think you're good enough.
That was entirely this
person. We need to do that for children too, P.S.
Yes. I know. Anyways, sorry. Another podcast.
Sorry.
But yeah, and this one was even more so because she actually wanted to keep the dog herself. So she wanted to make sure it was going to, like, a really good home.
Yeah.
So first of all, I was like, okay, there's not even going to be this dog on Kijiji. And then there is. And then I'm like, okay, well, she has this crazy long form to fill out. We're not even going to, like, qualify.
Yeah.
So I spent, like, hours filling out this form, trying to do it
spell
so
checking
right.
It.
Like, because some of the questions were like, what food do you plan to feed the dog?
You're like, and research.
Yes. So I did so much research on, like, the best dog food possible and, like, all these questions. And I, like, did my research and I filled it out that whole day in Oregon. And I was like, okay, I'm going to send it. Let's see what happens. I don't know. And then I sent it. And then she got back to me and she was like, you guys sound amazing. Sound like you know what you're doing. Like, I'd love to meet you. Love you to come meet the dog. And I was like, okay, well, when are you available? And that was the other thing, because I knew that when you get newborn puppies, they're usually advertised, like, weeks, if not months, before you can actually get them.
Before they're even born. They're literally like, we have one in the tummy. Like, do you want to put your name on this?
Exactly. So that's another reason why I thought looking when we did wouldn't mean getting a dog now.
Yeah.
But the fact that this puppy was already a couple months old and she was looking for a home for it, because she had kept it herself for a while.
Yeah.
Meant it was good to go, like, now.
Yeah.
So she was like, well, if you want to come, like, this weekend, it all checks out. Like, you can take him home.
This is moving way too whimsy for me.
It was moving so whimsy. Not whimsy for me. Whimsy for Austin. He was like, wait, what?
You're like, P.S., we're having a child.
P.S. So we were able to see him that weekend. So we flew home that weekend.
Yeah.
And I think the only reason this also checked out is because we were doing a road trip in California. We were driving like hours every day.
Yeah.
Like 6, 8, 10 hours every day.
Yeah, that's a lot.
And by the last couple days, it felt like nothing.
Yeah, you're like, cool.
We were like, oh, we want to go see this mountain. It's 8 hours away. That's nothing.
Yeah.
Let's just go. That's like how our attitude was by the end of the trip because we were so used to driving. Like now, if you'd ask me to do an 8-hour drive, I'd be like, no.
You're like, cool. What's the plane ticket like?
Yeah, exactly. So the breeder that had Danny was in a town nearish to Ottawa, which is a couple hours drive from our hometown.
Yeah.
Like 4+ hours drive.
Yeah. Yeah.
So we flew home. And I was like, hey, I would love to go see this dog. He's in Ottawa. It's like a 4.5-hour drive. You down? And for us doing these 6-hour, 8-hour drives, hearing that it was a 4-hour drive was like, yeah, okay.
That's nothing.
That's nothing. We've been driving all week. So we went. He was the cutest thing I've ever seen.
Did you take him home that day?
Yep.
Oh.
Well, I didn't want to do this drive to Ottawa like more than once if I didn't have to.
Oh my God. Little Danny. Oh, okay, wait. And then so how precious. Did he get his name? He is so precious. P.S. Will confirm.
Especially puppy him was the most precious.
Oh my God.
Oh, and when we were there, we got to meet his mom, who was so cute. She was actually the first dog I saw when we were there. It was at like a farm and she ran up to us and I was like, my first thought was like, this is what my dog is going to look like. Like, this is the most beautiful, perfect size, like, precious dog.
It is a good size because it's not, like, a little baby dog, but it's, like, not, like, a hefty dog that you're afraid of.
Yeah. Oh, so good. Anyways, so we ended up taking him home that very day, and I, like, drove home with a little sleepy puppy on my lap for 4 hours.
Oh, my God.
So
but you good. Had – did you have, like, anything?
Yes. So that last day in Oregon, she got back to us, and she was like, yeah, you can have him if you want him.
Wait, did you shop in Oregon for puppy supplies?
Maybe. Like I said, we had so much extra time that last day and we were so bored out of our mind.
And so excited about your new dog that you haven't met yet.
So one of the few things in this town we were in was like a PetSmart. So I was like, Austin, let's just go look around, you know, like let's just see what's up.
Buys the whole store.
Yep. So we went and we got a collar and they had that little
namey thing?
Name tag engraver.
You already picked out the name?
We stressed about this, but yes, we did.
Oh my God. Wait, this is like, you are setting yourself up for failure here.
Because if it didn't check out.
Yeah, it's just like such like a jinx, you know? Let's get a name tag printed.
Oh, but I was so like rose-colored glasses that day about my new puppy that like nothing could have shook me. I'd be like, no, this is happening.
You're like, the wedding was cool, but like this puppy though.
No, it's true. The wedding was cool, but this trip and this dog, yes.
Yes.
So the way we came up with the name is we knew kind of that day that we might be getting a dog. So everywhere we went, we were like shouting out dog names. Like, what do we want to name this dog? And then we started with all the normal names. Like, I don't know, Rover, Spot. And then, like, we didn't like any of them. So then we started getting silly with it and just saying names of things we would drive by, like Chevron Gas.
You're like, yeah. Actually, Chevron's kind of cute.
It is kind of cute. So we were just being silly with it, being like, maybe something will stick. So we ended up going out for breakfast at a place called Denny's.
Yeah.
And every time I tell people the story, they're like, oh, so your dog's name is Denny? And I'm like, no, let me finish the story.
Wait.
So we were at Denny's and Austin was like, oh, what about Denny? And I was like, well, that's silly. That's not a name. I was like, what about Danny? That's a name. And then we were like, ooh, I like that.
Done.
So, done. Done and dusted. So got it engraved, packed the collar in my suitcase, went home, drove another 4 hours, got my pupper, put his little collar on that said Danny. And that's the story of Danny.
Wow. That's beautiful. And Danny's so great. He's so well behaved.
Oh.
And he's cute. We need him here at the office, even though we're not allowed, because we have a grumpy landlord.
I know. I brought him for a couple times in the beginning, and oh, it was such like a mood lifter at the office.
Yeah.
So good.
Daniela was puppy patrol when Becky and I would have to leave the office. AKA not, I wonder how much work was getting done.
None. I would get like, I would get pictures sent to me. I'd be like, how is he? And she'd be like, oh, he's sleeping on my feet.
One day we'll get a new office and or a less grumpy landlord.
Mm-hmm. And then all the dogs.
Yeah. Okay, let's round off this whole podcast with a little game. We love to play games here. Mm-hmm. Well, it's a game. It's a quiz. It's learning more about yourself.
Yeah, so there's something called the 5 love languages, and I read about this before, like before we were getting married.
Oh, you actually did it.
Yeah, it's a book, I believe, but also a quiz that kind of summarizes the whole book. And basically, the theory is that there's five different ways you can express and receive love.
Yeah.
And I'm not sure if the quiz will give you two answers. We'll give you two or one. One. Because technically, everyone has two. There's a way that you express love and a way that you like to be shown love.
Right.
So usually you'll have two of the love languages. One will be like how you show it. One will be how you like to receive it. Sometimes they're the same. Sometimes they're not. So this quiz is basically going to show us our ranking on the different 5 points and which one we're closest to on how we like to receive love from other people. And it's really useful to know this about yourself and especially about someone that you're seeing or a partner, because it's so good to understand like what makes you feel loved the most. And especially if you know it about your partner, it makes it so easy to show each other love.
Yeah. I first heard about this from Shambhuti. Mm-hmm. She does like dating, love advice, all that kind of thing on YouTube. So check her out if you guys want to learn more about that too. But that's where I first heard about this. And lots of other like quizzes and lovey like relationship personality things.
And it's so important too. I didn't realize how important it was. But if you don't understand what your other partner's way they like to express love is, like it can feel like they're not giving you love.
I know.
Like
yeah.
If someone's like, I cleaned the whole house today.
Yeah, and you didn't, like, reciprocate properly.
Yeah, and it's like, well, maybe the way they express love is by actions, by, like, cleaning, you know?
Yeah.
But you don't understand that, so you're like, you don't love me.
You're like, I just want to kiss.
Exactly.
Like, I don't care if the house is messy.
Exactly, which is why things can go missed. So that's why understanding this in this quiz, super important, so we're going to do it.
Let's do it. All right, we're back, and we have some answers.
Yeah, we just did the quizzes ourselves.
I think we need to tell people what the different subjects are, right? Yeah. The different love languages. Okay, so let's quickly go through what all of the different love languages are.
Okay, so the first one is words of affirmation. This love language expresses love with words that build up your partner, such as, I love your hair today, or you always make me laugh. Acts of service. So your partner might speak this love language if their motto is actions speak louder than words.
Okay.
Next one is receiving gifts. So this love language isn't necessarily materialistic. It just means that a meaningful or thoughtful gift can make them feel appreciated or loved. So it's not about like the monetary value. It's just that giving something that's thoughtful means a lot.
But I think it's like the whole point is like almost like a physical thing little bit, right?
Yeah. Quality time. So this love language is all about undivided attention.
Yeah.
No telephones, no smartphones, or any other distractions.
Wow, I sense a theme in this.
And then the last one is physical touch. So to this love language, nothing is more impactful than the physical touch of their partner.
Copy that. Okay, so what's your top one? Because you obviously, nobody's like, I hate one of these things and I love all the other ones. It's like, it's always a little bit of...
Some are stronger than others.
It's a recipe.
Yeah.
So what's the strongest item in your recipe? On the back of your box,
what's the first ingredient? So my biggest one is physical touch.
Oh, okay. Mm-hmm. And like I don't know what this is out of, but like how many points did you get on that?
Nine.
Okay. So my top one is words of affirmation. So I'd like to be told how great I am. I hate that so much for myself. But I also think, that this depends kind of like the relationship that you're in too. Mm-hmm. Because like if I never received gifts, then that might be a little bit higher. But I know that a partner I'm with right now loves to give gifts. So I get gifts a lot. But like that I really just like don't need them, you know. So that almost makes me like it makes it even lower on my list, I think, because I get them. You know what I mean?
Right.
Like if I never got gifts, I'd be like, oh my God, that's amazing. I would love a gift if I'm filling out this quiz.
Okay.
Just something to keep in mind.
Okay. So my second highest one is words of affirmation as well.
Okay.
And then I'll just read through my other ones, I guess.
Yeah, go for it.
And then my lower three are quality time, acts of service, and my least important one is receiving gifts.
Oh my God. My least important, obviously, is receiving gifts too. What was your point score on that one?
2.
Yeah, same. Okay, yeah, so mine's are words of affirmation as my strongest love language, acts of service as my next one. Love those massages. Love it when somebody does something that like makes my day less stressful. So I think that's what some of the questions were. They were like, do you like it when they, you know, run errands for you? And I was like, yes, this means so much for me. Again, I think that relates to if I wasn't so busy, then I wouldn't appreciate that as much.
Right.
You know, so it all kind of depends on like where you are at in your life. Physical touch is the third most important. Quality time is the fourth most important. And then receiving gifts is at the bottom.
Yeah. And it's funny how much these totally make sense. Like, mine makes so much sense for me, because my least two important ones are acts of service and receiving gifts, because those are things I feel like I can give myself.
Yeah.
If I ever need something, like, I can probably safely buy it for myself. Or if I ever need something done, like, I like just doing things on my own. Like, I don't need people to help me out.
Yeah.
But my two biggest ones are physical touch and words of affirmation. And it's not like I can stand in the mirror every day and be like, oh, you're so pretty, or like, I really appreciate you.
You could try
but it doesn't mean nearly as much as having a partner say that. Or like physical touch, like, you can try and hug yourself, but like, it's so much more meaningful if it's with somebody else, you know?
Yeah, I totally get that. And I think it really does relate too on what, like, you're used to giving.
Mm-hmm.
And also maybe what your partner currently
mm-hmm.
is giving, because yeah.
And it's important to know that, because when we did this quiz together, I remember that gifts was one of the top one for Austin.
So that's his, what he likes to get.
He likes to get and give too.
Yeah.
So it's good to know that, because when he comes home in the day after a day and he's like, brought me something, like, maybe he's like, oh, at the grocery store and I picked out your favorite food and brought it home for you.
Yeah, you're like, cool, thanks. But you have to be like, oh, thank you.
It'd be so easy for me to dismiss that. But yeah. Now I know that that's how he likes to express love.
Yeah.
Like, I understand that that means that he was thinking so much about me and that he really loves me. And it's like, okay, now this simple act of picking up smart food is like, oh my God, that's how you in the highest form like to show love. And that means so much. So it's really good to know that.
That does mean a lot. Yeah. And I think the other side of this quiz, yes, yeah, figuring out not just what you like, but what you give to.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, gifts would also be on the bottom of mine. I don't like getting them, and I don't like necessarily giving them.
So just give a shout out. I mean, this is not sponsored at all, but the book that this is based off of is called The Five Love Languages by Dr. Gary Chapman. He's a
doctor. Don't get it twisted. This is important stuff here.
Yeah, so I mean, I would highly encourage everyone to read it. Even if you're single, it's great to know still about yourself.
Yeah.
It's not that long at all. It's a really easy read.
Wow. I hope you guys just learned a little about a lot of different things, including Becky's journey to marriage.
I think you did. If you have any questions that you feel like we didn't address, you can always email us at podcast@thesorrowgirls.com.
Yes. And I think we should have a blog post on this podcast. We can just show the beautiful pictures from your honeymoon.
I do. I have a lot. I'll share them with you.
Beautiful pictures of Danny. yeah, and some links to this quiz we just did as well too. That'll be at thesorrowgirls.com. There's a little podcast tab where you can find all of our blog posts that relate to the podcast episodes. We don't always do it, but we do it
sometimes
when it makes sense.
I hope you guys enjoyed this podcast. If you have an extra moment, we would love it if you liked and gave this podcast a rating
and subscribe if you haven't already, wherever you listen to your podcasts.
Yeah, we have these come out weekly, so we would hate for you to miss them,
and we would love for you to see them, hear them.
that's good.
Thanks. All right. Thank you guys for listening. We'll see you next week.
Bye.
We'll talk to you.
Yeah, you'll listen to us next week.
Bye.